The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby.
What
is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen, we have the honor of being joined by one of the best guests we've ever had. Former mayor of Detroit, NBA Hall of Famer, Dave Bing will be joining us later in the show. But we start the show with what was a pretty entertaining Monday night football game between two pretty bad teams. It took this drive, that completion to Jacoby Myers, and this kick to beat the New York Jets that don't have a single win. Now, we've been talking about this year as sort of an audition year, a pivotal point in the career of Cam Newton. What have you seen from him thus far that has concerned you?
Well, if they'd have lost to the Jets, boy, media would have slandered he and Bill Belichick's name all day, all week until they played another football game. And I came into this season feeling like even though the Patriots have limited weapons on the outside, Edelman's out, don't have a true run game consistently, that Cam would catapult himself back into the top 10 quarterbacks of the NFL, Jacoby, and I was wrong. Looking at his throws, some overthrows, some throws at the ground, some inaccuracies, and we know that Cam has dealt with some shoulder issues. We know he's dealt with COVID, so probably any of that can have an effect. And by the way, if you look at the lower 10 or 12 teams, yes, he could probably be starting for one of them. And by the way, the Jets were starting Joe Flacco yesterday. So there is a starting job for Cam. As long as he's rushing the way he's rushing and scoring the way he's scoring, second in the league in rush touchdowns. But as it relates to going to the Patriots, playing one season, and then getting signed by a contender, at this point, based on his productivity, I don't see that happening right now.
And we are only halfway through the season, so there's a lot of GMs watching his performance. But when you have Jake Luton and Garrett Gilbert starting at quarterback, there's a starting spot for Cam. But as you mentioned, he's probably not in one of those top-tier teams. But we're rooting for you, Cam. And he has improved ever since he got over COVID, which I think is something that we cannot overlook that you mentioned. Now, Jalen, you know I'm not going to move on to the next topic without celebrating a fellow Jacoby. This time it's Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers had himself a game. Cam just went back to Jacoby, back to Jacoby, back to Jacoby. And when they needed a real crucial play, guess
that.
Who got the ball? Jacoby Myers. Now, I haven't repped for Jacoby the way I normally do for Jacoby's because he hasn't performed up to it, but he was great last night. I look forward to him in the
so
second half of the season.
Easy.
I look forward to him in the second half of the season doing what he did last night over and over again. Now, Jalen, we go to another team, the Buccaneers. And one thing I found so interesting about that terrible, terrible loss was the quarterback play of Tom Brady, one of his worst games. And here is what his head coach, Bruce Arians, said about him and his targets, or lack thereof, of Mike Evans.
Mike was open a bunch in that ballgame. He just didn't get targeted. That's all. He was open. Mike was open.
Mike was open. Oh, he was open. He just didn't get targeted. That sounds like the head coach criticizing the greatest quarterback of all time that he just brought in. Jalen, what do you think about Arians' words about Tom Brady targeting Mike Evans?
The song that was playing in my head was Nipsey, Grinding All My Life. And I was thinking playing sports my entire life. And what I see from the Bucks is going to resemble what we saw from the Clippers. They're going to come up short of expectations. This team will not win the Super Bowl, Jacoby. Just think about this. When you're Tom Brady and you decide to go to the Buccaneers, a lot of the reasons why you decide to go there, Bruce Arians has a history with great quarterbacks, Godwin and Evans on the outside. Once you get there, they're like, all right, embrace us, build us up, and show us how to get some of that six-time championship mojo. And then when y'all struggle and you yelling at the offensive line and then you putting up the number 4 when the game is over, Now they looking at you like, all right now. And Mike Evans like, okay, so you brought in Gronk. You brought in AB. We needed to sign Fournette. I was an all-pro before Tom Brady got here. As a matter of fact, the phone is ringing. It's Mike Evans' crew. And they're going to remember a phone conversation, Jacoby, that they had. What did Mike Evans, being me, call you his friend and say when Tom Brady became his quarterback?
So I'm Mike Evans' best friend. I'm like, Mike, you did great last year, but you've got the GOAT thrown to you now. You're going for 20 touchdowns. You're going to solidify yourself as the best receiver in the league. Mike Thomas who, DeAndre Hopkins who. This is going to be the best year of career. You're going to get a new contract. You're going to buy a new house. You're going to buy me a house. Yep. That's how much money you're going to get. This is going to be the best year of career. I can't wait to ride your coattails for the rest of my life.
That phone conversation ain't going the way he thought. He only got targeted like 17 times the last four games. And he and Godwin were a dynamic duo when Jameis wasn't throwing the ball to the other team. And by the way, didn't they play the Saints the other day? And the Saints didn't just win. They waxed the Bucs. They waxed them twice. So again, it's only halfway through the season. They have some terrific talent on their team. Their defense, as you know, as you've lauded, has put pressure on the quarterback when they've had opportunities. But I don't see this, just like the Clippers as a team, that's going to put all of these parts into a first season like Kawhi's with the Clippers, like Brady's with the Bucks, and win it all. It's not going to happen this year.
One dynamic I love about this is Tom Brady is famously hard on his teammates. He expects the most from everyone around him. We've seen the videos. We know his reputation. And I can't wait to practice on Tuesday where they're looking at me. Oh, you're going to yell at us now, Tom? After that game? You're going to yell at us? You're going to yell at us now, Tom? Because we saw what you did out there. That's kind of on you, not us this time. You're going to yell at us now, Tom? We look forward to them bouncing back again. I'm not going to overreact to one terrible game. The Bucs have a great roster. I think they'll put it together and still be in contention. But Jalen Rose said today, here and now, they will not win the Super Bowl. To another team that definitely is not going to win the Super Bowl, the Dallas Cowboys. Its VP Stephen Jones said that he absolutely unequivocally supports Mike McCarthy being the coach next season. And he went on to say that we like stability. That's why we stayed with Jason Garrett for 10 years. Let me remind you that Jason Garrett was the coach for 9-plus years. They won 2 playoff games. He was barely over 500 by about 18 games. Jalen, what do you think about their commitment to Mike McCarthy long term?
You said another word to end with a Y. You said stability. He said absolutely and unequivocally. I'll say mediocrity. How about that? That's what they were when Jason Garrett was their head coach. And Mike McCarthy, though he won a championship with the Green Bay Packers, we know that Jerry Jones wants a coach in that position that if and when they do have success, that he's going to be lauded and gets the lion's share of the credit. That's just what this is. As somebody, by the way, who still hasn't put my guy Jimmy Johnson in the Dallas Cowboy Ring of Honor. So now if you're Mike McCarthy, it's one thing to lose that. It's another thing for your football team to struggle. And so it's gonna be interesting to see if he can at least get them to play hard like they did against the Steelers the rest of the season.
Well, one thing this comes with for Mike McCarthy is a built-in excuse. Because at the end of the season, when they don't win the East, he can go into the Joneses' office and say, listen, I lost Dak. You saw what happened with Dak. I was playing with Ben DiNucci. I was playing with some guy named Garrett Gilbert and Cooper Rush. So he's got that excuse that will get him another year. But if he performs like this next year, we'll keep an eye on that. Make sure you keep an eye on us. Because NBA Hall of Famer Dave Bing will join us right after this. Stay
Bingo.
Tuned. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, presented by Grey Goose.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport and brought to you by Chase. Jalen, take a look at some of the accomplishments of our next guest. Not only was he. Rookie of the Year, seven-time All-Star, a Basketball Hall of Famer, extremely successful entrepreneur, and former mayor of Detroit. Of course, I am talking about our guest, Dave Bing. Dave, thank you so much for doing the program with us tonight, spending your time.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, one thing we want to discuss with you is just how active NBA players were this summer in the bubble, dealing with the pandemic and social injustice and now the election. What did you think about their role in all of this this summer?
I was elated to see the engagement by the active players. They got a platform, and they really took advantage of their platform. And the positions that they took were not only nationwide, they were global. And so I'm very proud to see what they did. They were leaders.
Bingo, how important is it in particular for these black athletes to not only be terrific performers, but also take the opportunity and that stage to be voices for the voiceless in a lot of ways?
I think they really took it serious this year, and they took total advantage of the platform that they command. And so there are a lot of people that look at sports as entertainment, but I think the guys today understand just how powerful their words are and the positions that they take. So across the whole NBA, we had a bunch of guys who stood up and made themselves heard. And I think there were a lot of people out there that followed their lead.
Mr. Bing, the basketball world is focused on next week's NBA draft, the 74th NBA draft. Can you tell us a little bit what your draft night was like?
Well, it wasn't exciting like it is today, that's for sure. you know, they, in my era, there was a coin flip for the number one draft choice. And the worst two teams at that point were the New York Knicks and the Detroit Pistons. I assumed that I was going to be going to the Knicks because I'm an East Coast guy, you know, played in Syracuse, played in the Garden quite a few times at the collegiate level. And the number one player in the country was Cassie Russell, right up the road from Detroit and Ann Arbor. And so David Buescher, who was the coach of the Pistons at that time, called the coin flip, thinking that he would get Cassie for sure. It didn't wind up that way. New York won the flip. They chose Cassie, and I was the number two pick coming to Detroit. I didn't know anything about Detroit outside of Motown and, you know, outside of the automotive industry. But that pick for me changed my life. And I'm still in Detroit. And I'll tell you, for me, I was lucky to be drafted by Detroit.
Well, we were very lucky and grateful to have you. And you know how much I idolize you, not only by the way you performed on the floor as one of the top 50 players of all time, but also as an entrepreneur and as a businessman. And as somebody that actually hired me, Jacoby, at one point in time to work at Being Still. So can you talk about how important it is for athletes to not only pay attention to the score of the game, but also the game of life and being entrepreneurs and having careers outside of the game?
You know, I think in my era, most of the guys didn't think about life after basketball. A lot of them never prepared themselves from an academic standpoint or from a financial standpoint. They wanted to use their name maybe after playing to sign autographs and that kind of thing, you know, go to golf tournaments. But I always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to own my own company. I wanted to grow my own company. And I was fortunate enough that that happened for me in Detroit, but I was prepared for it. I remember Jalen, obviously, we go back so many years, it's hard to discuss what I feel for you also, the things that you've accomplished. Extremely proud of you, and I've known you and your dad was my backcourt mate. And, you know, just what you're doing now and the impact that you are making outside of basketball is tremendous. And so I follow you And there are so many people, not only just in Detroit, but across the country, who follow you and your success. So the platform that you have right now has made a big difference to a lot of players, both active and retired.
Now, Mr. Bing, you've seen a lot of basketball. You've seen a lot of different eras of NBA basketball. And with the Lakers and LeBron James winning the championship, it sort of drudged up this GOAT conversation. Who's the greatest of all time? Is MJ or Kareem or Wilt or LeBron? Where do you stand on who the greatest basketball player is of all time?
The most dominant player would be Wilt Chamberlain. The most successful would have been Bill Russell because of all the championships that he won. But when you look at MJ and you look at LeBron, if I had to choose who I would want to play with, I think it would be LeBron. And I say that because LeBron plays the whole floor, the whole game. He was not the kind of scorer that MJ was, but I think as a consummate player, both ends of the court, you know, the offensive end, the defensive end, he did some things statistically that that MJ didn't do. And that he, you know, he led the league in assists this year. You know, he's a big guy, so he was a better rebounder. But nobody scored like MJ. I mean, he could take it on anybody. And LeBron, I would prefer to play with LeBron.
Jacoby, a couple of the most important days of my life, my godfather Dave Bing was there. At the funeral of my biological father, Jimmy Walker, and at the ribbon cutting ceremony at the Jalen Rose Leadership Academy. But one phone call I got from him was one of the most humbling of all time. He asked me to be one of the people who did the foreword for his new book. And I can't wait to talk to you about that, Bingo. It's called Attacking the Rim. My journey from NBA legend to business leader to big city mayor to mentor. Tell us about the book.
Well, I'll tell you, I never thought about writing the book until one of my very good friends who worked with me, both in the mayor's office and now who runs the program, the mentoring program on a day-to-day basis, Bob Warfield, said, you know what, Dave, you've had an interesting life. And nobody outside of Detroit really knows much about your life. So why don't you really sit down and think about all the things that you've done, all the things that you accomplished. And you've got a history and you've got a story to tell. And so we started about 8 or 9 months ago, going through a process all the way back to childhood, high school, you know, college in the years here in Detroit. And it brought back so many interesting memories for me because I guess I have had an interesting life. I mean, I kind of take it for granted, but basketball was the center of my life for a long time. And then I was fortunate enough to move into the business world and grow a company from a startup with four employees to over 1,300 employees by the time we finished. Mm. From a couple of million in sales year one to over 300 million in sales by the end of, after 28 years. And so that, I thought that was the end of it for me. And I was ready to kick back and enjoy life. But we had an issue here in the city of Detroit from a leadership standpoint with our young mayor, who was somebody that I knew, I supported. I thought he was a tremendous young man with all kinds of potential. But he went off track. And with that, the business community lost faith in him. They didn't trust him anymore. And it started to negatively impact our city that was going through hell. So I was on a team of people who were trying to identify who could be the next mayor. Never crossed my mind it was me. But as we continued to go down this process of elimination, everybody kept coming back and said, we think you're the right guy at the right time. And it took me 2 or 3 months, quite honestly, to get my arms and my head around that. And after 2 or 3 months, I said, you know what? This is something that I need to do. I can't force this on somebody else. Detroit's my home. I've had all kinds of success here. We're in trouble right now. and I think I can make a difference. And so I decided to run for mayor. I didn't live in the city at the time, so I had to move to the city in order to run for mayor. You know, my wife is a Detroiter, and she said, you know, I'm going to support you, but I'm not ready to leave my home just yet. So you go do what you think you got to do, and I'll be there to support you. And I got that kind of support from so many people around this city that it was a challenge, but it was the toughest 4.5 years of my life, no doubt about it.
Thank you so much for spending time with us, and make sure that you stick around because we'll be back with more Jalen and Jacoby.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Next Wednesday, November 18th at 7 p.m., watch lives change during the NBA draft. It promises to be an exciting, surprising night with so much movement at the top. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, every Tuesday at the end of the show, we break all of the football down into one simple takeaway. It is Tuesday's takeaway, and what is your takeaway from Week 9 this Tuesday?
So you're an NFL fan and you're watching the Chargers lose games late and you're wondering why. It's the curse of Tyrod Taylor. Remember, he was going to be their starting quarterback?
Yep.
And he got an injury. Not by playing football or from one of the opponents. He got his lung punctured by somebody on their training staff, lost his job. His backup comes in and looks great, and all of a sudden he doesn't start again. This is why the Chargers are losing games late. The curse of Tyrod Taylor.
I love the curse of Tyrod Taylor. Jalen Rose, something else I love that is my takeaway is the head coaching of Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins. Now, everyone wants to point. I have him as the coach of the year this year, and everyone wants to talk about the decision to put Tua in over Fitzpatrick, which thus far has worked out, but it's so much more than that. He's got the defense humming, the special teams humming. He has been the coach of the year, in my opinion, thus far. I want to thank Hall of Famer Dave Bing for joining the program. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Thank you. You're far too kind.